The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
LinkedIn presents.
Hi, it's Wednesday, and this is the Next Big Idea Daily. I'm your host, Michael Kovnat, and today let's talk about capitalism. Is it dying? Should it die? Does capitalism inherently create inequality and injustice? Or is it a tool for spreading wealth and uplifting the poor? The answers to these questions aren't necessarily simple or stable. While we're all, in a sense, pawns of the economic system we live in, we're also participants making daily choices that shape the world around us based on our values and preferences. And those values and preferences can change over time with each rising generation. Soon, the cohort born since the mid-90s, known as Gen Z, will be the dominant force in the economy. So their priorities will shape what capitalism will look like, according to Ken Costa. Ken is an investment banker in London and is currently chairman of Helios Fairfax, the largest private equity group in Africa. He's written a book called The $100 Trillion Wealth Transfer, how the handover from boomers to Gen Z will revolutionize capitalism. In it, Ken argues that the new generation's focus on climate and justice issues, along with their native digital and social instincts, will have a lasting impact on what our economy looks like. Here's Ken to share some of his big ideas.
I've observed several shifts in the way in which we operate in our economy in the world and socially as well. The first is the drive towards the East. Go East has been a cry for many people over the last decade. The second is that green is good. There has been an effort to move from a carbon economy, a brown economy, to a green or an environmentally friendly economy. The third observation that I've had is the feminization of finance. It's been wonderful to see how women have begun to play an increasingly important part in the provision and the distribution and management of capital. And by the end of this decade, well over $5 trillion will be in the hands of women financiers. But above all, the $100 trillion handover is a tsunami. It's a seismic change. It's when money flows from the one generation, the boomers, those born after the war, to what I call the Zennials, Gen Z, and the Millennials. And this change will either make or it will break capitalism. Empowerment follows this wealth transfer. I know anyone will say that when one generation dies, another inherits their wealth. That's normal. But never before have we seen not only the quantity of wealth being transferred from one generation to another, but also that this wealth transfer is not some far-off day in the future, another decade. It's happening now. The bank of grandpa and grandma are helping to pay for the deposits on homes, the college education fees, the rental of apartments, which are so expensive in almost all our cities globally. This wealth transfer is different because at the same time as the wealth is being transferred, a new generation has got some very clear empowering tools that we've never seen before. Firstly, technology is empowering a generation who are not afraid of the future, have no fear of artificial intelligence or quantum computing. Embracing that future gives them a new power that has been absent in a previous generation. Secondly, the generation is media savvy and has enormous influencer capacity to be able to influence a generation in a way in which we couldn't have imagined beforehand. And thirdly, and more importantly, was told to me by a young person I was mentoring, which was this: we have a different agenda. Your agenda was to make loads of money. Ours is to work well to earn well and to do well, to do good and at the same time to do well. And in that respect, there is an agenda that will establish the environment, justice, equality as key values for the future. But will the values that the generation, the Zuma generation, so espouse, destroy the very basis of the value creation that is at the heart of the market economy? I remember very well when the Occupy movement, which was a global anti-capitalist movement, arrived in London, tried to storm the stock exchange, and eventually ended up on the steps of St. Paul's Cathedral. And there was a very real threat that violence would break out and that the cathedral would be stormed. The cathedral was closed, and I was asked by the Bishop of London to arbitrate and mediate between those demonstrators encamped outside St. Paul's Cathedral and the city fathers. But I will never forget when one very intelligent demonstrator said to me, "Ken, if your system of capitalism and the market economy is so good, why is it only good for you and not for our generation?" This clash of generations is perhaps one of the most disturbing worldwide. Zoomers react to boomers by thinking that it's a feckless group of people who don't want to work hard, who are entitled and want to receive far more than they are prepared to put into hard work. On the other hand, the Zoomers look at the boomers and think this is a group of analog people who have no social awareness and do not share the values of a world that they will not inherit, but will bequeath to the next generation, and which they have taken the massive advantage of. These cohorts, the silos that have begun to grow, are evident in every country in the world. The Xennial community looking at the boomer community and throwing mud at them, and vice versa. And it's not getting any better. With this great clash of generations, if this were to continue, there would be no doubt in my mind that capitalism would suffer and social dislocation would result. One of my great heroes is Nelson Mandela, who I met on several occasions as I was a trustee of the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund in London. I remember as vividly as it were yesterday him saying to me, "Ken, it is very easy to make for disagreement. It is very difficult to make for peace. You must make for peace." So I've asked myself the question, how do the two generations avoid the clash of generations and become a more cooperative generation? And I believe we need both generations. We need the hindsight of the boomer, my generation. We've been through inflationary times, we've seen recession, we've seen hardship. But we also need the insight of the Xennial generation, who are able to navigate the future far more robustly, who don't want feedback, which is what I was trained on when a work or piece of work was being done, or I was being evaluated by those in charge of the people of the business. But they want feed forward. They want to know what our insights, which they are providing, will mean for the future. How will the future change? How will the future change the way in which I operate today? And if we take together the hindsight of my generation, the boomers, the insight of the next generation, I believe we will create the foresight that is necessary to establish a purposeful, purpose-driven financial services and business services grouping in the world. Purpose matters. We cannot simply allow the values of the next generation to be thrown out with the bathwater of the value creation that is so important to the future of a dynamic capitalist society. And so I have come to the view that what we really need is a socially energized capitalism. Socially, yes, because the next generation is very committed to community, to social action, to social concerns. Creative, because unlike almost any other generation beforehand, this generation is more creative and has more of the tools available to them to be creative than one before. And so one should be drawing the socially creative, the socially energized part of the equation from this generation, but without forgetting that it is nonetheless capitalism. It is important for risk to be taken, reward to be given, performance to be assessed, such that it is not just one side of a values-driven world, but also one that sets the importance on the creation of value and enabling as many people as possible to share in the future of a market economy, whilst at the same time recognizing the social creative importance that a new generation would attach to the creation of wealth. I think we've all heard for a long time now about co-working, co-leading, co-learning, the several co-words. And I believe that co, a small word, has a great meaning. But it's not just a helpful management tool. We are co-leading this business. It is a fundamental shift in the way in which the boomer generation and the zennials cooperate together and work together for the future. And therefore, co-destiny, the recognition that we have to work together for the future, is a vital change that needs to come as a result of not only the extraordinary move of capital into the hands of the next generation, who will be able to finance their own agenda, but also to take into account the history and the backstory of a previous generation. I love what British Prime Minister Winston Churchill said: the longer you can look back, the farther you can look forward. This is a time for us to be looking forward. And I deal with this looking forward under the heading of co, reinventing co as the basis of which one generation will work with another. I mentor many young startups and we work together. I provide some of the insight, and I should say also the hindsight, of what a young business might look like, whereas they are providing a newness, a new creativity. But it's the mentoring, the coaching, the investment of capital, of time, and also of a sympathetic understanding of the objectives of the next generation that will make the co that I've been talking about, the co-destiny, a key feature of the way in which we will avoid the clash of generations and instead find the cooperation of the generations. And there is another dimension in co-destiny, and that is that there is a worldwide longing for a deeper spirituality, a greater desire for meaning in why I am working. What are the objects of life? How can I pursue the objectives of a capitalist system without burning out? And burnout is one of the great disadvantages of our generation. And the mental health of the next generation is vital if we are to have an integrated way, a co-way of being able to work together to ensure that the handover from the boomers to the zennial generation will not just revolutionize capitalism, but will affect every aspect of our lives, of our society, and of our spirituality.
Thank you, Ken. All right, well, tomorrow we're going to look at the economy through a slightly different lens when we hear from Josie Cox, the author of Women, Money, Power. It's a comprehensive look at the hurdles and opportunities women face in our current system. If you'd like to hear that sooner, you can find Josie's ideas on our Next Big Idea app, along with thousands of other ideas from hundreds of nonfiction authors. Just look for the Next Big Idea in your app store. I'm Michael Kovnat. See you tomorrow.